So we'll have one more chapter of doctrinal truths, and then the prayer of Jesus, and then on into the Garden of Gethsemane and so forth. But he finishes out the chapter with more teaching tonight about the Holy Ghost, God's Holy Ghost. This is a very important teaching. You've heard me say this before, that he is the silent partner of the Trinity. He doesn't promote himself. He lifts up Jesus. And that's what this passage is talking about here at the end of the chapter, verse 26 of chapter 15. He says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." So he shall testify of me. That's our title. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom and open our hearts to your word and use it to teach us and grow us this evening. We thank you for the privilege of coming together in the middle of the week and opening your word and praying together. So we give it to you. May you be glorified through it in Christ's name. Amen. So again, we see the Comforter already introduced in chapter 14. The Comforter, one of the names for God's Holy Ghost. Go back to chapter 14 and we'll just review where Jesus introduced him this way. Chapter 14 down in verse 16. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And then over in chapter 16, verse 7, turn over there if you would. Chapter 16, verse 7. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." So again, we see Jesus referring to God's Holy Ghost as the Comforter. And sure enough, as we serve him here during the church age, those of us that are born again Christians, our God is the God of comfort. We're even told that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that God is the God of comfort. And he comforts his children through the Holy Ghost who indwells us. But the Bible calls him, back in our passage, verse 26, not only the Comforter, but also refers to him as the Spirit of truth. This is very important. There is only one embodiment of truth, and that is God's Word, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of truth. The only way he can be the Spirit of truth is if he is God himself, and of course we know that he is the third part of the Trinity. But he is the one who not only brought the truth, remember we're told in 2 Peter 1:21 that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, referring to the Old Testament prophets and how God gave us his word by the Holy Ghost through God's prophets. But now during the church age, he gave us the truth through his prophets again, but he also now teaches us the truth, which is wonderful. Remember, there's no one better to tell you the meaning behind a book than the one who wrote it. Amen? The Holy Ghost wrote the Bible because he's God. And therefore, he, as the Spirit of truth, is here to help us learn the truth. Let's look at that. John 14, 26. So he's the Comforter. He came to comfort us in our trials and tribulations. He's also, as we see here, the Spirit of truth. Notice John 14, 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." So there it is. He will teach you. He indwells us and teaches us God's word. Also go to chapter 16 now, verse 13. It says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." So the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is the Comforter and he is the Spirit of truth. He came to teach us. He gave us the truth through his prophets, and now he teaches us his truth as we study his word. That is why, if you go to 1 Corinthians 2, That is why an unsaved person can't understand the Bible, because they don't have the interpreter living in them. And God even tells us they can't understand the Bible. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, down to verse 10. And we'll see that he is the one who illuminates the word to us, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So the only reason that we can understand the Bible is because we have God living in us. Now look down in verse 14. But the natural man, that's talking about the unsaved, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. An unsaved person's spirit is dead. They haven't been quickened by the Spirit of God yet. So that's why it says it's the Bible's foolishness to a natural man, to an unsaved man. He needs the Spirit of God to teach him the Word of God. So the Holy Ghost, who Jesus said he would send, he's the came to comfort. He came to guide us into truth. But he also, back in our passage, John 15:26, he also came to testify of Jesus. Notice again at the end of the verse here, and he shall testify of me. So he doesn't say that he will testify of himself, does he? It says he will testify of Jesus. This is important. So look over now in 16 again. We looked here before, but look at it in a different light this time. 16 verse 13 of John. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all the truth. Look at this next phrase. He shall not speak of himself. Do you know how many churches around the world today, all they talk about is the Holy Ghost this, the Holy Spirit that, the Holy Ghost this? The Spirit of God did this. But wait a minute, it says he won't speak of himself. He'll speak of Jesus. So that right there should cause our ears to open up and say, could there be a problem? If there's this overemphasis on the Holy Ghost, who's not supposed to be speaking of himself, who's only supposed to be promoting the Lord Jesus Christ, if there's way too much emphasis on him, maybe there's an issue there. Because it goes on to say, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. It says, he shall glorify me. This is Jesus speaking. He's saying the Holy Ghost will not glorify himself. He will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So he will testify of Jesus. As the Spirit of truth, he's here to testify. Go to 1 John chapter 5 quickly, if you would, in verse 6. And again, we're reminded here in this passage in 1 John 5 that he's the third member of the Trinity. But notice 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, it says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And then one of my favorite verses to take people to that don't use the King James, verse 7. What's it say? For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. All the modern Bibles just say, and there are three that testify. That's it. The Trinity is thrown out the door. But that's a whole different discussion, isn't it? So the Holy Ghost is here to be our comforter. He's here to guide us into truth. He came here not to testify of himself, but to testify of Jesus. And that is why Jesus goes on to say in verse 27 of chapter 15, and ye shall bear witness. So we already know that the Holy Spirit is here primarily to testify of Jesus. Now Jesus says, that's our main purpose. And who did we receive when we got saved? But the Holy Spirit. who is here to primarily testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he does it through God's people. The Holy Spirit doesn't go around just speaking the word of God to a lost person from the air, does he? He could. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. No. He speaks the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost through God's children. Jesus told the disciples, go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that if they would tarry at Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit would come upon them, and he told them that he would give them power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power. We looked at this Sunday night. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Look at this next phrase. And ye shall be witnesses. So Jesus said the Holy Ghost, it hadn't happened yet when he spoke these words. It was going to happen very soon on the day of Pentecost. But he said to the disciples, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And when he does, he's going to give you power and ye shall be. He doesn't say you might be witnesses, does he? Ye shall be witnesses. Why? Because God the Holy Spirit is going to be living in you and preaching the gospel to the lost through your lips. And when we witness, we are to be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God so that he can witness through us. And that is how God's been doing it for 2,000 years. Go to Acts 4:31 as well. But we are here also to do the very same thing the Holy Ghost is doing, and that is testify of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, it says the place was shaken. When they were gathered together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. There it is. The evidence of being filled isn't speaking in tongues. The evidence of being filled is witnessing to the lost. And you see that through the book of Acts. And you and I are here to do that same thing the Holy Spirit's here to do. That's to testify of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. To tell people about Jesus and what he did at Calvary for their sins and their salvation so that they could receive eternal life like we have. And so the Holy Ghost came to comfort us and to help us, as we've seen, to guide us as we study his word. That's why we should pray before we study the word. Lord, open thou mine eyes, I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, like David prayed in Psalm 119:18. We need to pray and say, the Holy Spirit lives in me. I pray he'll open the word of God to me and teach me and lead me. And then, when we have opportunities and the Holy Spirit pricks us to say something to that lost person, you say, I'm going to do it in your power, Lord, and the Holy Spirit will do it for you. And if you've ever, I'm not talking about prophecy here, but if you've ever witnessed to a lost person and you were in the Spirit of God, you know what that's like. God is witnessing through you. And I'm sure you've experienced it just like I have, where there's been times where you're witnessing to someone and it might be a particular question they're asking or a particular situation, and you're sharing the gospel with them, you're witnessing to them, and when you're all finished and you walk away, you're like, wow, I didn't even know I knew that. Or I didn't even know I knew it in that way. And that's because it was God witnessing through you. It was the Holy Spirit witnessing to that person. He was just using you as an instrument. It is supernatural, but in the same time, God expects us to know his word and to study it and to be prepared. But it's the Holy Spirit that's doing that witnessing. If we're doing it in our own flesh and our own strength, it's for naught. It needs to be in the power of the Spirit of God. So the Bible says, he shall testify of me. He came to comfort you and me. He came to guide us in his word. But he came to testify and to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ through you and me. Remember that the next time you have opportunity to witness, say, Lord, I can't do this in my own strength. I need you to witness to this person through me. Let the Holy Spirit do it. That's what the means when the Bible says we're to be filled with the Spirit. We're to be walking in the Spirit. Let the Spirit witness through us to tell people the great news of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because that's why he primarily came, to testify of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your